We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, God's Kingdom Team, from the series Stronger, and shows you how every believer has been picked to be on God's winning team. Now, here's today's program.
The Holy Spirit is a spirit. He's not spatial. He doesn't take up space. He's not a liquid. He's not like gas. He's not an oxygen. He's not air. So it's not like when I'm talking filling, it's like a balloon where he's like, I mean, it's not. That's like the force. That's like Star Wars or something. The Holy Spirit is a person, right? Has a personality. It's this. Is the Holy Spirit controlling your life? Have you ever confessed sin and invited the Holy Spirit to take over? Now, here's what the devil will do. The devil knows that once you're in Christ for all eternity. He's lost you for all eternity. Even if you sin, you can't sin your way out of Christ. You're in Christ. But what he can do is he can keep you from being the full potential of who you are. And there's nothing he enjoys more for Christians than Christians who are on the body of Christ to be miserable in the body of Christ because they're not filled up with the Spirit of Christ, and therefore they're not serving and they're not joyous. And word to you, listen, just hear me on this. The greatest joy you will ever experience in your life and the greatest adventure you will ever have is when the Holy Spirit is in charge of everything. Amen. I mean, maybe you didn't hear me. I'm telling you, if I had the choice of season tickets and Super Bowl tickets every single year to every, or tickets to every sporting event I'd ever want, every concert I'd ever want, every trip I'd ever have, or the Holy Spirit could be in me controlling my life, it's a no-brainer. I mean, since the time I was 23, Christianity was no longer, okay, glad I got saved, but I don't really like church all that much. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. And yeah, those people are like this and they're like this. When I was filled with the Spirit, I didn't care what anybody else was doing. I was the one telling my friends, yeah, I'm quitting my job and I'm going into ministry. And most of my friends, because of the people I hung out with, like, do you have to wear one of those collar things that are white? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. And I mean, they had no idea what I was just telling them, man, I just got to tell more people about Jesus. Because here's the question. I mean, if you're here today, I mean, have you ever thought about what's going to happen the moment you die? I mean, have you ever considered that it could be today? Have you ever considered that you're going to stand in front of the glory of Jesus Christ? And if you've not repented of your sins and confessed him as Lord, you will be cast out into outer darkness for all eternity. I mean, you ever considered the consequences of that? I mean, when I preach on that, it's not like, oh, it's Sunday. I got to go to church. I guess I got to tell people. I mean, I'm pretty fired up about it. And believers, hear me. I mean, one of the reasons that I left the evangelism scene where a bunch of people were coming forward and giving their lives to Christ and doing all this, and I haven't changed my heart for evangelism. It's as important as it was. But I started feeling like every person that's coming forward, crying tears, feeling their sins forgiven. They know they're new in Christ. That's God's team A player. What are they doing? And the answer is for many of them, they'll never do a darn thing because they haven't been taught that God's got special purpose for you. So if you leave here today and you're a Christian, somebody says, have you been baptized with the Spirit? Here's your answer. Yes, I have. Have you been filled with the Spirit? Is he controlling your life? That's a question only you can answer. That requires your responsibility. And God wants you to know he's got great plans for you. He's got great plans for your life. And let me give you a second point. God needs your unique and best contribution to his team. God needs the best you can be. I mean, I remember when I was starting to watch preachers when I knew I was going to be one, and there'd be guys I'd watch. I'm like, I can't tell a story like that guy. I can't go deep in the Bible like that guy. And that guy just has an engagement with people. That guy's got a shepherd's heart. Man, that guy's got a leadership. I can't be like that guy. And I can't. And finally got to a place where the Lord was like, no, Jeff, nobody can be like you. I called you. I need you to be your best you. And it gave me great comfort because now I don't have to be like anybody else. I'm just like me with all my flaws and all my gifts. That's just who I am. And every guy we're going to train up in our church that goes out, there's not one that could preach like me. I'm the only me that there is. And all God asks is that I be the best, most filled up me that I can be for his name's sake. He needs the best you. And so here's what he says in verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Okay? Do you get that? I mean, somebody told me my Jesus looked like a crustacean or something like that the other day because he had no hands. But do you get that the body's made up of different parts? I mean, there's feet, there's arms, there's a torso, there's internal organs, there's all this that make up the one body. Here's what he says. If the foot says, which is hilarious because a foot can't talk, but if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? In other words, he's saying every part is needed. The way God gifted you is needed. And what often happens in churches is we champion one or two gifts, and then everybody tries to be this part. If you go to a Bible church, everybody wants to be a teacher and teach the Bible. If you go to a Holy Spirit gifted church, everybody wants to prophesy and speak in tongues, right? If you go to an evangelism church, everybody wants to tell you about who they're bringing to Christ. Whatever's championed in the church, people try to go towards that thing. But if you saw a body that we brought out here on the platform today and it was just an eye, I mean, it'd be like a sci-fi freaky thing, right? It's not the full orbed. Here's what Paul's saying. All the gifts are necessary in all the churches. Everybody needs to serve to their full capacity. There are certain people in our body who have a natural bent towards evangelism, and certain people have a natural gift towards teaching, and a certain people that have a natural gift towards leadership, and a certain people have natural gifts towards serving. They're all needed in the body. And guess what? Just because you say, well, my gift's not needed, you can't opt out. Now, I had parents that when I started something, play on a team, day one, I hate the coach. I knew we were going to lose every game. Here's what they would say to me. You signed up, you finish. You're going to finish it through. Millennials, I know that doesn't make sense to you, but that's how we used to roll. Sorry, I just had to say that. I love you, millennials. I love you. Sometimes things in life aren't comfortable. Here's what Jesus says. You're on my team whether you like it or not. And I picked you to be used on my team. And I hand-selected you before the foundation of the world for what I wanted to do through you. And only you can do it. Nobody else has what you have. Not one person. Right? And that's why it goes on to say this very thing in the next verse. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. God is the GM. God is the director of all the operations. God's like, I know where I want you to be. I know how I'm going to gift you, and I know what I want you to do, and I want you to go for it, because if you'll be the best you for me, I will produce fruit in and through your life. I will build the church, and I will advance my kingdom because of you. If they were all one member, where would the body be? In other words, here's what he's saying. You got to celebrate the diversity that we have. I mean, in Genesis 1:27, it makes it clear that whether you're male or female, God created each one of us in his image. Psalm 139 says you were formed in your mother's womb and that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's really interesting that in Ephesians 2:10, here's what he says. He doesn't say for I am or for you are. He says for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance so that we would walk in them. Do you know what that means? It means that the moment that you trusted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, God placed you in the body. This body is simply called this. It's synonymous with this word. C-H-U-R-C-H. Church. That's the body of Christ. You say, well, I don't like the church. Well, then you don't like Jesus, because that's his body. That's his plan A. He's baptized you and placed you into the family of God or the body of Christ or the church. It's one and the same thing. And not everybody is wired the same. Now, you realize that, right? I mean, in life, we realize that. If you work in an organization or you're in a family and have multiple kids, not everybody's the same. Everybody sees through a different lens, which is why I said it's very important for you to recognize what your lens is, because your lens is just your lens. It's not everybody else's lens. When you find yourself getting upset with something, when you find yourself getting saddened about something, when you find yourself getting frustrated about something, do you know why? Because your lens is so crystal clear in that area that God wants to use you to help with that. Not complain about it. Well, if the youth group was like this, I mean, you'd see how blah, blah, blah. The reason you see it so clearly is because God wants you to help with that youth group. So go serve. And just so you know, your gifting doesn't depict where you need to serve. I could serve in any numbers of any number of ministries in our church, but if I did, my gifting would come out in that ministry in the way I served. Do you know that you can serve in our children's ministry without even having a love for children? I mean, some of you can administrate and lead really, really well and help adults do things and say, I'm not with kids, but man, if I can help facilitate what those people can do with kids, I could really help. Now, some of you are here today like, how do I learn my gift? How do I learn my gift? How do I learn my gift? It is so easy. I mean, I just got great news for you. Go through the passages I talked about last week, Romans chapter 12, verses 6, 7, and 8. This passage here in 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4, 11, and just kind of walk through, circle the ones that kind of are you. But it's even easier than that. I mean, next week we're going to talk about, here's how you discover your gift. You love God and you love other people, and other people will show you what your gift is. I mean, it's pretty simple.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God's Kingdom Team, from the series Stronger, showing you that every believer has been picked to be on God's winning team. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
When I was a youth pastor, here's what I did, and I've told this story before, but it bears repeating because I haven't told it for a while. When people were going to serve on my team for my ministry with junior high and high school students, I made every single person, no matter who they were, male or female, whether they had a seminary degree or whether they'd never been to church at all, you had to serve in the cafe for 2 weeks. Because I knew in 2 weeks, I knew exactly where I needed to place that person. Because you know what happens? I would give them specific instructions. Hey, this is the time that you need to be here, and this is what you need to do. You're going to stand behind the counter, and you're going to serve kids food. Here's what's going to happen before, and here's what's going to happen after. Only a couple people actually followed directions and would do that. And those were people that had the gift of helps. They would be the people that would come to me after the first week. Oh, thanks for letting me serve the food. Thanks for letting me sweep the floor. Thanks for letting me set up chairs. I don't know much about teenagers, but it was so great to be a part because I see God's doing a great thing. Thanks for letting me be a part of this, right? Other people I would give the same assignment. They would say like, hey, I didn't see him at all. I see him out in the smoker's pit with like six different kids that never fit into our youth group. And they would come to me afterwards and they'd be like, oh, Jeff, I'm so fired up. Thank you so much for letting me serve. You know, there's six kids out there. You know what's going on in their life. I got to share the gospel with two of them. And I'm like, hey, thanks, gift of evangelism. So glad you joined our team. Then there'd be somebody that would come to me at the end of the night. And she'd be like, hey, do you know that girl that's like a sophomore in your group that's living with her mom and her dad's kind of abusive? And I think she's having thoughts of suicide. And I'm just wondering if I could get her number and give her a call this week. And I'm like, of course you can. Gift of mercy, gift of discernment. Give her a call. She needs that. Then there'd be that one person that would come to me afterwards, and they weren't complaining, but they kind of were, and they would say stuff like this, hey, have you ever noticed that behind the counter is just so disorganized? I mean, have you ever considered like buying some containers and just organizing it? And you could like, okay, gift of administration, I'm glad that you've arrived. Right? I mean, I knew every single person's gift within 2 weeks. And if you take a person that has a gift of evangelism and you tell them stand behind the counter, they'll never do that for you. But I could make all the gifts operative in our student ministry. All the gifts can be operative in our church. You say, how do I get started? Here's what you do. You start loving Jesus and finding ways to serve others, and it will pour out of you. Some of you that have the gift of generosity, it's not uncommon for you to open your pockets and just start giving. One of the reasons we're changing our whole benevolence policy is because we started as like 7 or 8 years old. We got to be better at being generous towards the people in our own body, right? I mean, whatever your gift is, it's just going to come out, and other people will notice it before you. Other people will notice it before you. I've told our elders many times, I mean, my number one gift is the gift of apostleship. I know for me, if ministries aren't getting started, if we're not mobilizing people, if we're not moving, if we're just managing, I've told them several times, not as a threat, I know how I'm wired. If our church ever gets to a place where we manage, like if we get to like 5,000 people and everybody's like, that's cool, we're 5,000, I'm out. There's no place for me to serve anymore unless I can keep my foot on the faith pedal and take things out. That's how I'm wired. That's how I've always been wired. That's how God uses me. And your gift can be used anywhere at any time. So you can't come to church and be like, there's no place for me to serve. Here's a better thing to do. Okay, just listen to me. Hear me real quick. I don't need to give you a title to do it. You don't need authority to do it. If you're gifted and you just start doing what you think you're good at, there'll be fruit from it. If there's no fruit, you're not gifted at it, right? If you say, well, I'm really good at teaching students, but you can't get one student to listen to what you say, I got news for you. You're really not good at it. If 25 students are coming and we're getting reports back like, hey, this gal or this guy down with student ministry, I mean, they're just flourishing. Everybody wants to be. That's because they're gifted at it, right? And all of us are gifted in different ways. That's what we talked about. And all gifts are needed. But here's what you need to know. The only one that matters is yours. The only one that matters is yours. If you take your gift off God's kingdom field and said, well, we'll just play with that group, every team gets limited when you're not playing with all your full potential. I said last week, I mean, you let me coach an NFL team, and all we say is, hey, give me the four best offensive players, the four best defensive players, the four best special teams players. We'll get killed by everybody, even if those four guys are all pro. You need everybody on the team. And that's what he's saying. So I would say get involved now. We don't need to be copycats. One of the things that goes on in church is we think, well, if I have this gift, then I got to be like that guy. I have a teaching gift, so I got to be like this teacher. No, you don't. You be like you. And you be like you, and you be like you. You be the best you can be doing it in your way, and God will bless that. And even as a church, our church doesn't need to look exactly like anybody else's church. Yes, we want to bring glory to Jesus. Hope all churches do that. Yes, we want to teach the word. Hope all churches do that. But our reflection in the kingdom may look different. For us, from a leadership on down, what fires us up is building quality disciples to mobilize people for missions all around the world. And we're just getting started. But I guarantee you, one day you are going to see us. It's going to happen. By faith, I believe it. You're going to see people standing here being commissioned all over the world, taking people from our church to go with them to plant churches to the glory of God. That's what I'm fired up and want to be a part of. That's our church's uniqueness. Now, in the body of Christ, it doesn't mean that we're better or we're worse. It's just who we are. Be the best you that you can be. That's what Paul says. And God's the one that's positioned all these things. Let me tell you something else. Not only individually, but then as a body, we need to take care of things. Notice this. Point number three, God needs you to care and cheer for all members on Christ's team. God needs you to care for, cheer, and celebrate all members on Christ's team. Notice what he says. Verse 20. But now there are many members, but one body. He's been repeating this over and over and over ad nauseum, right? And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary, right? I mean, the body, thank goodness, the hand can't say to the foot or the head to the arm, we don't need you anymore, get out of here. I mean, the body can't function. If you have a foot by itself and an arm by itself and a head by itself and a torso by itself, that's not a body, that's a cadaver. There's a big difference. We need the whole body to function together. And isn't it true sometimes that some of the weaker members of the body are more necessary than we think they are? I remember when I was in eighth grade, it was 2 days before I was supposed to go to basketball camp for the summer. And we were on a vacation in Branson, Missouri at a water slide. And my sister and I, we were going down, running up, going down, running up, going down, running up all day long. Well, one of my trips up, I literally kicked as hard as I could one of the metal posts going up, my fourth toe of my left foot. I broke it. And it wasn't like cool like today where you get like those robo walking legs. I mean, this was like they gave me like a platform wooden shoe with like green canvas and three brown eyelets to tie up. And I had to walk around like this. It was just the fourth toe on my bottom foot. Everything else on my body was just fine. It was just my fourth toe. You don't realize how much you need your fourth toe until you don't have a fourth toe that works, right? I didn't get up this morning thanking God for my kidneys and my pancreas and my liver. I mean, I didn't even know how to ask God to make those things function correctly. I'm just glad that they're there. But isn't it true in the body of Christ? Sometimes there's things we celebrate, but there's others that are doing just as significant kingdom work that are more anonymous that God cares for. It means we care for and cheer for and celebrate everybody in the body of Christ. Right? That's what he's saying. And notice what he says this. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. In other words, we should be even more grateful for those ones in our body that we would normally overlook and say, listen, because here's what I would tell you as your pastor. If you're a person that prays, which I know several of you are because I've gotten several notes from you when I was sick, listen, I champion your ministry. And you're going to find out someday in heaven that because you prayed when nobody saw what you were doing, you were one of the biggest assets that we ever had in our church. right? There's things that you do, and here's what you're doing. You're not doing it for an audience of the crowd. You're doing it for an audience of one. If God can see what you're doing, it will build. Some of you that have gifts of mercy, nobody gets to see everything you're doing except for the one or two or three recipients of your gift. And I'll tell you this, they're grateful because I'm always grateful when I'm getting it from you. Right? What's your gift? We need to bestow honor on all people. And then he says this, and on our less presentable members become more presentable, whereas the more presentable members have no need for it. I mean, there are parts of our body that we take great care in covering, right? To show care and concern for. There are some people in our body of Christ that we need to take special time to care for and come around and have concern for, right? Sometimes in our Christianity that we have today, we think everybody needs to be like a poster child and look a certain way and dress a certain way. Hey, some of the most gifted people I have met in 30 years in the body of Christ, like people that hear the Lord and kind of understand who he is and have a passion for him, some of those people, not all, some of those people are some of the weirdest people I've ever met in my life, right? That I wouldn't necessarily bring out and be like, hey, meet so-and-so, because you would say, they're kind of weird, but I'm telling you, you get to know them. They're not kind of weird. They're kind of connected to Jesus and he really loves them infinitely. And he's saying this, all parts of the body are welcomed. We need them all. And I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I realize how grateful I am for the body that I had, right? I mean, there's parts of my body I wasn't as thankful for 30 years ago that I'm thankful for now. Do you know what I'm saying? As we grow in our maturity in Christ, we feel the same way. We realize that every one of you is supernaturally gifted to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever capacity he has. And it's kind of like this. The point he's trying to make is, you know, the arm is way more visible. I can take my sleeve off. I just don't want to, you know, embarrass some of the men here. But I mean, I can show off my arms, but I can live without an arm. I can't live without my kidneys. I can live without my legs. I can't live without a heart, right? I mean, the things that I can't always see are often more valuable than the things that I can see. That's why churches that flourish, it's not about the senior pastor or lead guy or elders. It's about the team. It's about all of us coming together and being everything we've been needing to be for Christ. Paul says, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked it, so that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same what? Care for one another. Your gift was intended to care for other people. And most of you, in ways that you can care, they don't seem like a big deal, but they're a big deal. Some of you are just naturally generous. We can't do ministry here without generosity. It's impossible. Well, that's not that big of a deal. All I do is write a check. Well, write a bigger one. I mean, we can use that. All I do is I just greet people coming in. Hey, listen, I want to tell you this. I've been to church enough to know that many times when I'm coming to church, I care more about how I'm going to get greeted than what the pastor has to say. Because I know several of you, when you walked in here this morning, you kind of fell down. You meet one of our greeting team. They're not greeting you because they have to. They enjoy greeting you. They really want to make you feel welcome here. They want to know that there's a spot for you at Brave Church on the team, right? No matter what your gift is, just use it, exercise it, and use it more so that it doesn't atrophy. And then notice this. No division, because we're not looking to each other to see what each other has. We're going to honor God. And if one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Do you feel that way? I mean, when you hear about things going on in our church, do you suffer with people that are hurting? Hey, when you hear about other people in our body that God is promoting or he's celebrating, can you celebrate with them? Two things I find that Christians have a real hard time doing is hurting with those who hurt. And sometimes what's even harder is celebrating with those who God is blessing. See, if you're sufficient in who you are in Christ and you're filled up with the Holy Spirit, when somebody gets something good happening in their life, you know what you'll do? You'll celebrate them. You'll take time to tell them, hey, I'm so glad with what God's doing in your life. I see that. That's awesome. It doesn't rob me of anything God's doing in my life, but I'm as happy he's doing it in your life because guess what? There's 7+ billion people on the planet that need God's service, so go for it.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God's Kingdom Team, from the series Stronger, about how every believer's been picked to be on God's winning team. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.